The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew and muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
This is Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Dr. White is presenting a series of sermons about Christian generosity, and we're calling it Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Today, Dr. White is continuing a message from yesterday's broadcast. Here's Dr. White to introduce today's portion of the sermon.
And welcome today to Word for the World. I am excited that we're able to continue this sermon that we began yesterday. And it's a sermon from our series, Taking Part with a Generous Heart. It is from two chapters of the Bible, the series is, that are just filled with generosity. In fact, I'm calling them the generosity chapters. They've meant a great deal to my life, and I believe can to yours as well. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Now today, we're continuing where we left off yesterday in a sermon from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 through 15. Where we're talking about the motivation for giving. Our first sermon was about the example for giving, and we considered the Macedonian believers who, even though they were in a deep poverty, their wealth of liberality overflowed. What a beautiful and wonderful example. Go back to our archives if you missed it on randywhiteministries.org and hit the Listen Online page and catch that sermon or the first part of this sermon. But yesterday, we began talking about the motivation for being a generous giver. And we had, first of all, the motivation of comparison. That is, looking around to seeing what others are doing. Now, that can be negative, but we learned yesterday a very positive sense in which there can be a motivation to our giving by comparison. But then we began what we'll complete today. And that is the motivation of completion in verses 10, 11, and 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And yesterday, as we were closing the broadcast, we had talked about the advantage of completion. And the advantage of completing that which God has done in your heart is that the Lord repays. Now, with the advantage, we move into the anomaly of incompletion.
Now, he speaks of an advantage, but he also speaks of an anomaly here when he says that you began to do it a year ago. You had a desire to do it. It says in verse 11, now finish doing it. That is, there's the possibility that you won't finish that which you started. You won't complete your pledge, as it were. And so the anomaly here is that desire demands a doing, doesn't it? You desired. You started it. You got it going. Now you've got to carry it through. I wonder how many of us there are in this room who at some point in the past have had a desire and maybe even got things started. But we might look and say, I'm not sure I've ever completed it. Maybe I owe a little bit on that desire that was mine, on that pledge that I made to the Lord and to his church, and we come along and consider this. I can remember a time when I was reading a book. In fact, I was a college student. I had this little book, didn't have anything to do with class, and it's very rare that a college student reads something that doesn't have to do with class, isn't it? But I was doing it, and I can still remember where I was as I was completing that book, and it was a motivational book taken from Scripture, and it was on generosity. And I was reading that book. I was in a laundromat in Abilene, Texas, one Friday night doing laundry. You can tell I had a great social life. And I was reading that book there in the laundromat, and it came to the conclusion, and it asked for a pledge of generosity. And it even had a little place there to sign and date. And to this day, I've got that book. It's in my office, and from time to time, I pick it up, and I have to ask myself, I wonder if I have done that which I started to do. Have I carried it out? It's an anomaly sometimes. And he says, here, let me motivate you to complete it. There's an advantage to you to complete it. It'd be an anomaly not to complete it. And he then tells us what's acceptable in completing it as he continues in verse 11. He says, but now finish doing it also, so that just as there was a readiness and a desire, so there may be a completion of it. How? By your ability. See, the acceptability here is by what a person has. Look in verse 12. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what a person does not have. Acceptable to come and fulfill your pledge based upon what you have. Fulfill your desire based upon what you have. I don't know if he's saying to some of the Corinthians, he's maybe saying, I know that economic conditions have changed. Maybe you lost your job, inflation ate up your money, whatever it is, sickness came along. It says, I want you to fulfill the desire and carry that through all the way. Look at, if you would, for a moment, Exodus chapter 35. And I want us to see what the scripture has to say about desire as it relates to giving even in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, of course, there was the some of the legality of giving, but there was also a giving which was based upon desire, which I want us to consider in Exodus chapter 35. And let's begin in verse 5. They are taking an offering, and the offering is for the building of the tabernacle. Here's what it says. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold and silver and bronze. What kind of offering does the Lord want? He wants that which is from a willing heart. Go down in that same chapter to verse 21. It says, everyone whose heart stirred him, everyone whose spirit moved him, came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of the meeting and for all of its service and all of its holy garments. And it goes on in verse 22 to say, all those whose hearts moved them. And it begins to tell the gifts that they brought. Down in verse 29, it says, the Israelites, all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work. Now, Paul comes back and he says, hey, those of you who have been moved in the heart, the acceptability is now to take that which you have and fulfill that which the Lord has done. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 8, you don't have to look there, but the scripture says that there was some credit given to David, not because he built the temple, but because he desired to build the temple. Fulfill the desire to the extent that you're able, he says.
Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE.
Here's the motivation in a generous heart, the motivation of comparison, the motivation of completion in verses 10, 11, and 12. Now, 13, 14, and 15, we have the motivation of compassion, a compassion for others. He says, for this is not for the ease of others. Not for the ease of others. Let's talk about that here in just a moment. You know, we talk about completion and the completing it just according to your ability. The Macedonian church was one. They gave according to their ability and even beyond, the scripture says. But I have one of my favorite little poems here that I've kept in my Bible actually for many years and read it from time to time. I've shared it with you before. It says this, the bride, bent with age, leaned over her cane. her steps uncertain, need guiding. While down the church aisle with a wan, toothless smile, the groom in a wheelchair came gliding. And who is this elderly couple this wed? You'll find when you've closely explored it that this is that rare, most conservative pair who waited till they could afford it. Well, most of you who've ever been newlyweds know what that's about, don't you? He says, look, come and complete it, even though it may look like you can't complete it. Here, go ahead and get married, he's saying. It's going to work out. God's going to bring it through. And bring about this compassion. Look in verse 13. This is not for the ease of others. That is, this offering here is not for the ease of others. Now, that's an interesting word, ease. It doesn't mean wealth. And certainly he would agree with that. It's not for the wealth of others either. But ease is one of these words that doesn't get anywhere near wealth. He's saying, we're not taking up this offering so those people down in Jerusalem can put in a hot tub out in their backyard. That's not what we're taking this offering up. Not for the ease of others, but ease doesn't get anywhere near wealth. In fact, ease is a very, I guess we'd call it a very shallow word. That is that there's not a lot of blessing or benefit in that Greek word that is translated here, ease. In fact, another time it is used to Paul when he is in prison in Rome. And we're told that he was given just a little bit of ease that allowed others to come in and visit him and care for his needs. Now, if you're in prison and under house arrest and the governor, the law says, okay, someone can come in and feed you, I doubt you'd call that luxury, would you? That's just a little letting up. I mean, you're going to get a little more than the piece of bread that the prison would have given you. They're going to allow someone to come and bring a cake every now and then. Bring something to you. Ease. He said, this isn't even for the ease of others. This is just to relieve their pain, to give them their daily bread so that they can move on. This is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality, by way of fairness. And he speaks about what kind of equality that is, as he says, at this present time, your abundance for their need, so that their abundance may also become for your need. There be equality. So the equality he's talking about is not some sort of communism type equality where everyone puts it in a pool and everybody has a fair share. That's not what he's talking about at all. In fact, he says, now you all are a little more abundant now, and so could you help ease the pain of those who are not? And later on, it may be those saints in Jerusalem who have the blessing, and they'll be able to turn it around and reciprocate, and there's that kind of a compassion that is given, the compassion for the brother who's not quite as strong as you are right now financially, to take care of him. It's not a call to poverty that he uses to provoke the generosity, but he's saying it's for compassion that you come together. There's a community that comes together, and you see your need to gather for them and to care for them.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. I'm sure you know that these broadcasts are expensive to produce and distribute on the radio and internet. It is faithful friends like you who help make this ministry possible. We have a group of supporters in our Club 8 program who donate a simple $8 each month for the support of this ministry. While $8 does not seem like a lot of money, these supporters really are the basis of this ministry. Would you consider joining the ranks of those who give this $8 gift? When you join Club 8, you will receive Dr. White's book, The Antichrist, absolutely free. To join, click the Club 8 tab on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. Dr. White is grateful that you are willing to help keep this broadcast ministry of conservative, convictional Bible teaching on the air. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Now, if you take this in a prophetic sense, I think he's probably speaking a little more in an intermediate sense, but if you take it in a prophetic sense, there's such a true word here, because what we see here is he's calling for them to take care of the saints in Jerusalem. And you remember what Jesus says in relation to the coming judgment that will come upon those who live through the tribulation? He says, I was in prison and you never came to visit me. I was sick and you never came to bring me healing. I was thirsty and you never brought me drink. I was naked and you never clothed me. They said, when did we ever see you like that? He said, well, when you saw one of the least of these and you skipped over me, you didn't do it. But if you, to the least of these, if you brought them a cup of cold water and you went to visit them and you cared for them, he said, you did it for me. And you know that judgment there at the end of the tribulation for the nations of the world is based upon how did you treat those saints in Jerusalem? What was your response to them? And so in that long-term prophetic sense, it's clearly to your advantage, isn't it? We hear about the Jewish problem that Hitler talked about and others, but Zechariah prophesies the day when 10 Gentiles will come and grab hold of a Jew and say, we hear you have access to the Holy One. Can we go with you? He says, watch out. That one now who's down and out may be the one who can be a blessing later. Several months ago, I was at home on a Saturday afternoon, and I got a phone call, and I answered the phone, and he gave me his name, and I said, oh, yeah, I know who you are, and began to describe. I said, I know exactly who you are. He said, well, you know, we've moved, and said, yeah, I know you moved, and said, we haven't been here. I said, I know you hadn't been here. He was one of these guys that would come to the church, and he was needy. People cared for him and took care of him, but, you know, you always kind of wondered, well, are we doing the right thing or not? I'm not real sure. But nonetheless, he called and said, well, we've been gone. He said, but we're back in town just now. In fact, he said, I'm driving out of town now, but he said, can I meet you just for a minute? He said, take about 5 minutes. I said, yeah, sure. Meet me up at the church. I'll be there. And so we met up here at my office came in and sat down and for just a moment. And then he handed me an envelope and he said, you know, the church helped me while I was here. And I want you to take this and help somebody else with it. It was $500 there in that envelope in cash. He said, use this. Find somebody who needs it and use it. And we began to talk about some people that might have a need. See, he was one of those that you'd never expect really to ever get anything back. But a real believer understands sometimes I receive the help, sometimes I give the help. It's a blessing to come along and to have a compassion for one another. It says in verse 15, he says, as it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. It's referring to manna. If you read in Exodus chapter 16, you see how the one who got a little greedy saw that manna went, man, they stocked up on it. The next day, you remember what they had? Jars full of worms. And I think it gives us a picture and even laid a groundwork for the Israelites later in generosity when later on he would tell them, now, when you're in your land and you're harvesting the crops, he said, why don't you just leave the corners? Don't be so stingy that you're going to get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. So leave some. Be generous. Don't hoard it. He taught them that through the manna. Later on, he sent out the 70 disciples, and he said, don't take an extra coat or a money bag. He said, just get out there and spread the message. And later on, he looked back upon that, and he said, you remember when I sent you out with no coat, no money bag? He said, did any of you go hungry? He said, I took care of you, didn't I? There's a song we sang years ago that says, give of thy sons to spread the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to send them on their way. And all thou givest, Jesus will repay. Here we come and say, you know, I need to have some compassion. A compassion that brings about a generous spirit. A compassion that ought to motivate me. Compassion to see the lost of the world who are walking in darkness, to have the light of the gospel. a compassion that says, here's one who's struggling financially in my own family, in my own circle of community, in the church, and it ought to be a church that comes together and really is a community, a neighborhood that says, we'll take care of one another here. If you're struggling, we want to bear your burden for a while. Later on, it may be my burden you carry. He uses that compassion to lay down a framework. Now, I wonder, in your own life, in your own generosity, I think everyone wants to be generous, but do you need a little motivation in it? Maybe you can look out at others and say, you know, that person really is generous, or that church really is generous. That Macedonian church certainly is a great example, and Jesus Christ, the greatest example of all. Maybe you need to go back to that own commitment that you made in a service or a laundromat somewhere along the way and say, I want to bring it all the way. I want to get back to where I should be. And maybe it's just compassion for the lost, compassion for the hurting. It says, I can give up a little luxury, not so that they'll be rich, barely even to provide a little bit of ease. I'm motivated. Comparison. Completion and compassion.
If this series has encouraged you, would you consider supporting our ministry by giving a donation to receive the entire series on CD? The series is offered at a suggested donation of only $16 and includes 5 full-length sermons, nicely packaged for years of good use. You can order on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. If you prefer, you can also send a $16 check to Randy White Ministries, 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494.
And I do pray that the series is a blessing to you. 5 sermons, I hope you'll call us today and get it. And don't forget that during this month of July, we also have a call-in only special. Now, if you give us a call, toll-free, 1-855-437-9448. I'll repeat that in just a moment. But if you'll give us a call on this toll-free number, we have for you both of the new little booklets that I've written just this year. One is called The 3 Statements of Thomas, and it is a booklet designed to give you encouragement in the face of doubt and to help you see the journey of doubt in the life of doubting Thomas. The other, appropriate for this time of year when we celebrate the independence of America and our founding fathers, is a little booklet called The Faith of Benjamin Franklin. In this book, you can see the journey of faith that Benjamin Franklin took, and you will discover from his own words and testimony whether or not Benjamin Franklin was a born-again believer. There's absolutely no doubt as to the status of his faith. Normally, these books are $7.95, but we want to give both of them to you for just your donation of $12. We appreciate that. Perhaps you'd like to get this series when you call. For $16, all 5 sermons of them. So we have been giving today the motivation of completion, completing that which the Lord tells us to do. We had a motivation of comparison yesterday, and then the motivation of completion and the motivation of compassion in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 through 15. You know, certainly it's not your call to poverty to produce another person's wealth. But it is your call to community when those, especially within the family of faith, are in need. We come and we have some compassion and we help them out. And I pray that you're becoming a very generous giver as you listen to this series from the generosity chapter, 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and 9. We'll be back here right on the same station to pick up tomorrow where we've left off in this series, Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Call us today, would you? Here's our announcer to give all the contact information.
We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today, toll-free, at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel, unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
This is Friend of Zion, and I'm Dr. Randy White. And as we pray today for the peace of Jerusalem over just the next couple of minutes, I want you to be reminded that there are poor in Jerusalem. These are Jewish people that have left their homelands and come to a new country. You see, the dispersion of Israel is coming from all around the world. They're flocking in today from India. They're coming from Ethiopia. In addition to that, the poverty of India and the poverty of Ethiopia, these Jews that come back, there was the first arrival of the Jewish people who came, a broken people, many of them just out of prison from the Holocaust. Today, there are thousands of Holocaust survivors in Israel. Most of them are living in retirement villages, and some of them are very poor. I received a call not long ago from Leket Israel. I love the ministry of Leket Israel. You see, Leket is the Hebrew word for gleaning. I'll tell you in a moment why that's important, but Leket said, now, Pastor White, there are these Holocaust victims in their retirement, and just a little bit would help to feed them every day. Do you think that your congregation and those who listen to you would be interested in giving a few dollars to help feed an older Holocaust victim, one in declining health, one who just needs a little bit of gleaning? See, Leket is the Hebrew word for gleaning. And that was, you remember, in the Old Testament, the prescribed manner in which the nation of Israel would make sure that the poor of the land were taken care of. You see, the farmer didn't own the corners of the field. He had to leave that, and it would be gleaned by the poor. You remember, of course, Ruth and Naomi in the most famous story of gleaning. Now today, Leket Israel, gleaning. They have a program of rescuing meals. When you travel to Israel, you see the great buffets there, and there's some food left over. Leket comes in and rescues it and makes sure that it goes to good use. And they have farm cooperatives that the farmers allow them to come and rescue produce and use it for the poor. As we pray for Jerusalem today, I would ask if you would give a gift to Leket Israel. You can do so at our ministry, friendofzion.com, or even over the telephone. You can call us today at 1-855-437-9448. Heavenly Father, I pray for the poor in Israel today, that you would give them peace by giving them something to eat. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Friend of Zion. Meet us at the website. God bless you.